Just down the street from the Delilah House, a recent arrival in town was playing poker in the Kennedy Saloon.
I'll take three.
The dealer gave the man in black three cards and then looked over to the next player.
What about you, Maloney?
One.
One it is.
Maloney was trying to fill a heart flush. The card was a spade.
Fold.
Well, mister, it's gonna cost you $5 to see what I've got.
The man in black looked at his cards, thought about it for a moment, then with a shrug, he folded. His opponent raked in his winnings.
Boys, I'd better give this game up while I'm still got enough to buy myself a beer.
Just as Maloney was leaving the game, three men came into the saloon. One of them, seeing Maloney's open chair, walked over to the table and sat down.
A person with manners would have asked if he could join.
Mister, you got any idea who you're talking to?
Obviously, I am talking to someone who is sans manners.
Sans manners? What does that mean?
It means your demeanor is boorish.
Damn, that's the second time today I've been called a boor.
The man in black smiled patronizingly.
You really don't know who I am, do you?
So far, there is nothing about your personality that would lead me to want to know who you are.
Well, I damn sure know you. You're the one folks call the professor. My name is Puckett. Jimmy Bob Puckett. Does that name mean anything to you now?
The professor recognized that name, but he gave no indication of doing so.
No, I don't think I've ever heard of you. Are you someone I should know?
Mr. Professor, maybe you ain't never heard of him, but Jimmy Bob Puckett is,
The dealer realized he might just be agitating Puckett, and he stopped short.
You can say it. You can tell the professor here that I ain't the kind of man a feller's gonna want to row. That is, none if he wants to live much longer.
Well then, Mr. Puckett, I don't want to rile you, because I certainly do plan to live longer. So please, do join us. I have to admit that I have been admiring your hat. Perhaps if there is a fortuitous fall of the pasteboards, I might just win it tonight.
Puckett took off his hat, which was low-crowned, black, and surrounded by a band of silver conchos.
You ain't getting my hat.
He pulled a stack of bills from his pocket and put them on the table in front of him.
On the other hand, after I take all your money, I just might buy me a fancy brocaded vest to go with my hat.
We'll see, Mr. Puckett. We'll just see.
The professor won the first hand and the next hand as well, and with that hand, he was now a few dollars ahead.
You're a pretty lucky fella, ain't you?
Sometimes it happens, but luck is only effective when one has the skill to best employ it.
Yeah, like what happened last week. Was you lucky or skillful?
Last week?
Yeah, last week in stinking water. You killed Billy Barton.
Oh, that... Yes, I did.
Well, Mr. Professor, Billy Barton was a good friend of mine, and me and you is going to have an accounting over that.
The other players got up and away from the table quickly, leaving only Puckett and the professor. They were facing each other across a table upon which lay a spread of cards, some face up, some face down. There also remained on the table little personal banks of money in front of where each of the players had been sitting.
Now you've done it. Your ill-mannered behavior has ruined a perfectly good card game.
Yeah? Well, they can always find another card game, but Barton can't, can he? He can't never play cards again, and he can't never have no women again. He can't never do nothing again on account of he's dead.
Your grammar is atrocious.
My grandma's what? Look here, you ain't got no business talking about my grandma. She's a fine woman.
I'm sure she was.
Now that you can think back on it, I just bet you wish you hadn't shot my friend, don't you?
No, I would have killed him anyway. He was clearly a man who needed killing.
You see them two fellas standing over at the bar?
When the professor looked over, he saw two men looking toward the table.
Them two boys is Gibbons and Turley. Turns out that Billy Borden was a friend of theirs too. And me and them is just all broke up over losing a good friend like we done.
Yes, I could tell just how upset you gentlemen must have been over the demise of your friend by the grief you expressed at his funeral. Oh, wait. That's right. There was no funeral, was there?
We was planning one.
Really? Apparently you didn't mention that little detail to the undertaker. Mr. Barton was laid out in a plain pine box, then buried on the far side of Boot Hill without even a marker.
How do you know?
Because I was there. And I was the only one, except for the two grave diggers.
You always go to the burying of men you kill?
When I can. Sometimes I bury them myself.
Just how many men have you killed?
As many as I needed to.
Well, you won't be killing no more.
And why would you say that?
Because I'm about to kill you.
Oh, I see. And would that be just you, Mr. Puckett? Or do your two friends intend to cut themselves in on the dance as well?
Well, that don't really matter none, does it? I mean, as long as you're dead.
Puckett was unaware that the professor had already drawn his gun, and he was holding it under the table. He started to draw his pistol. Puckett's eyes opened in surprise as the bullet plowed into him before he could even clear left. He collapsed in his chair. The professor turned his gun toward the two men at the bar. Gibbons drew and pointed his gun at the professor. He managed to take two steps before he fell. Turley went down in place.
Son of a bitch! Did you all see that?